Arizona News Radio. A Phoenix man is arrested after he left a gun in a home. He was picked up by an 8-year-old relative. A 2-year-old girl was shot in the face.
It led them to believe and to have probable cause in this case that the grandfather, who also rented the apartment, was in fact the one that was in possession of the weapons.
Phoenix police have arrested an 18-year-old in connection with a series of rapes of young girls. That wildfire near Portal is still burning, but the evacuation order has been lifted.
Evacuations have been lifted in the Portal area. With that said, though, there is still a closure in the fire area.
Opponents of Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio want him to resign over alleged mismanagement, but illegal immigration gets this supporter.
People have been ducking them. I'm sick of it. I'm sick and tired of having our city and our state and our country invaded by illegal aliens.
DPS finds 9 illegals in a car they stop.
One of those undocumented aliens being smuggled had a prior arrest record in California.
That for an alleged attempt to kill a cop, George Tanner.
And this KFNX traffic report is brought to you by Preparation H. Westbound on the 10, you're going to find 2 accidents. One's right at the tunnel. The other one's at 7th Avenue, so you know there's a lot of slow traffic right in the middle of Central Phoenix. Also, westbound on the Papago west of the stack, there's a collision there. And new Preparation H totables, discreet little tubes packed with big relief. They're the Anywhere Preparation H, from the brand doctors recommend most by name, among leading brands. From the KFNX Traffic Center, I'm Wayne Allen.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Well, this unbelievably cool spell does come to an end. We're 91 tomorrow, and by Friday and Saturday, we're mid to upper 90s under sunny skies. Believe it or not, by the first of the week, we cool off again. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
And currently at our downtown studios, we're sitting at 84 degrees. Next news in 30 minutes, and when it breaks here on KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Do only dogs hear dog whistles?
You could enjoy multi-car safety feature and good driver discounts when you switch to Geico. For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Do mimes make even less sense when you can't see them?
The mime is stuck inside a giant invisible box. Now he's drawing an imaginary door. And now he's opening his imaginary door. And the imaginary door just shut on his fingers. Now he's doing an imaginary cry.
Switch to Geico now and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
This is Legalese, where the law is always on your side. Now introducing your host, a longtime veteran of the courts, Dennis Willinchek.
This is Dennis Willinchek, and we're back here every week, as you heard, on Legalese, a show about the law and people that make news in politics and the law. Of course, politics always affects the law. And today we are honored to have Peggy Neely with us for the hour. We're going to be talking about her run for mayor. Peggy has been the vice mayor of Phoenix, among other things that we'll get into. And Peggy, welcome to the show.
Dennis, I'm really glad to be here today.
Thank you. Well, we're hoping that you'll stay with us the full hour and
sure.
Not get offended by anything I say, but hopefully not. Peggy, tell us a little bit about your background. Our listeners know a little bit about you. They see your signs up, but tell us, you know, where you're from originally and how you wound up in Phoenix.
Sure. Grew up in southwestern Colorado in a very small town. I tell people that that's sort of where my values were set. I grew up on a farm, so when you work on a farm, you work hard. And
yeah.
So my number one value is you have to work hard at whatever you do, just like you do every day. Secondly, I truly believe that your word is your bond, and that's something that I've used in my adult life, used it in my private work and also public life, that people have to be able to depend on what you have to say. And the third value I found is you leave a place better than you found it. So basically, we grew up in a very small community, and then we end up, my husband and I actually went to the same school together, and then we ended up moving to Denver for a while. And there, I got involved and changed a couple of jobs and ended up working for a construction company and working my way up and ended up doing labor negotiations and safety on the sites, which was a very interesting job for a woman in the 80s.
And then you wound up somehow, I guess, in the real estate business here. Is that right?
Well, we ended up moving to Phoenix. And as you know,
what brought you here?
My husband went to work for a company down here. And, you know, being young, I didn't think much about the fact that we'd move here. And being a right-to-work state, you don't have as many union contractors. So right. I decided to retool and got into the real estate industry. And that's something that I really enjoyed.
What did you do in the real estate industry?
I was a residential real estate agent and then became a broker, ended up owning my own company. And what attracted me was being able to be involved in helping people make those purchases, but fully disclosing everything that's going on.
You would probably be one of the few mayors that actually was ever in business. Is that right?
You know, I worked hard, and I think a lot of people have done different paths, but this is a path that I've always believed that you don't get there by not knowing what the private sector does.
Well, what got you interested in politics?
Well, you know, being involved in the realtor industry, I was involved in the local and the state level and, you know, basically worked and chaired those committees. And what I found out was there's a whole lot of difference between the state legislature and the city. And as I began to go along, I got involved in the city side because I wanted to be able to tell my clients what was going on projects that were having entitlements put on it. I felt like that was something I needed to be able to disclose. Got involved in it, liked it. Liked the fact that you could make a difference in people's lives very quickly at the city versus the state.
You know, one of the questions I was going to ask you, actually, so you kind of led right into that, was some of the controversy going on right now between the state legislature and the cities in terms of sort of unfunded mandates in some respects, where the legislature now is trying to sort of, some people claim, control the cities without funding them.
Right.
What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I think we hear the state talk a lot about what the feds do and send them mandates. I would like to think that the state could have the same sort of feeling about their municipalities. You know, our municipality is a charter form of government, and the folks in Phoenix have decided how we should run that. So I quite frankly think that they need to allow the people of Phoenix to decide how they're going to run the city. And in some of the bills that occurred this year, maybe we can make changes. But those should be done and made by the elected officials or the residents of Phoenix.
So coming back to your background, so when did you first decide to run for the city council?
Well, back in 2001. Actually, the first race was in September. It was 9/11. And so that's something that'll probably always be on my mind because we not had early ballots, that race would have been decided by 260-some votes. Mm-hmm. So never take for granted you've got it won because you never know what happens.
Or as a voter, you should never take for granted that your vote doesn't mean anything, I guess.
That's exactly right.
Now, you were from which district? Was it Paradise Valley?
It's the Northeast Phoenix District, too.
Okay. Yeah. Where is that, basically?
Well, it runs from about Cactus on the south, past Carefree Highway, I-17 to Scottsdale Road, and then darts in a few places. 110 square miles.
And you've decided to, or you have already stepped down from that position because you can't run for mayor at the same time, right?
Well, it's unless you're in the last year of your term, you cannot be on, hold the seat and run. So, yes, I've decided, unlike another candidate, that I will resign to run for mayor because I truly believe, have the vision and the view to take the city forward.
And so let's get into that while you're on that, Peggy. We're here with Peggy Neely, who's running for mayor. Why do you want to run?
You know, Dennis, this really is a great city. You choose to live here. I choose to live here. And a lot of people believe in this city. But we're in a time of an economic downturn, but we have a lot of great attributes that we need to move forward. I have the leadership, and I have the track record to be able to move us forward. We're really at a turning point in this city. We can continue to do the same, which I think would be to our detriment, or we can begin to make some changes, which could move us up the ladder and put us back on a path that will be a very attractive place for other employers and for people to want to be here.
So tell our listeners, why you? Why do you feel that you'd be the best candidate for mayor?
I have worked very hard in District 2, and some of the things that I've worked on is the economy, making sure that we have high-wage jobs within the city of Phoenix. You know,
how do you do that?
You know, working with our employers, removing the barriers that employers put out there or the cities put out there for employers, talking to people, you know, finding out and building quality communities. We need to reinvest in our existing employer base. If we use the example in Seattle, Boeing decided to leave. Did the mayor know? No, he didn't. He found out when he read it in the paper.
Yeah.
That was only 4,000 jobs, but it was the supporting jobs of 6,000 that support Boeing that really hurt. 10,000 employees left Seattle. And the problem was they hadn't communicated. And that's one of the things we've done in District 2 is reached out to the businesses that were there, found out how we could expand their business. Mayo Hospital has expanded. American Express has expanded. We brought in Republic Waste, which is a Fortune 500 company. Got Gore to come down from Flagstaff, open up a business. Get the a GSA regional facility coming into District 2.
Yeah, so you got American Express that came down there, right?
We expanded American Express's headquarters right there at 56 and Mayo.
Costco, Capital Group Companies.
Yep.
Marriott, Desert Ridge Resort. There's a lot of companies expanded. And then you've gotten some new businesses. You've got the Musical Instrument Museum was in your district,
and
right?
And that's amazing because the Musical Instrument Museum, not $1 of public money went into that. All private. But it was all placement and wanting to be in a location near a freeway mm-hmm. in a quality neighborhood.
And then there's, our research showed the Chauncey Ranch Retail Stores. New car dealerships, Marriott Residence Inn, Mayo Clinic Campus, that's all on your watch?
It is all on my watch. And yeah. It's something that is not only it's businesses, but it's also revenue base for the city of Phoenix.
That's great. Well, so looking at the future of Phoenix before we take our break, what do you see as the highest priority if you're elected mayor?
Well, I think, again, if we don't change what's happening in our economy, we are not going to be able to employ people. We're going to continue to see the housing market fall. We are going to not be able to create those opportunities, have our children be able to live here. We have to fix the economy. The economy is number one. Number two is controlling our spending and our budget. And number three is transparency in government.
Well, we're going to talk about some of the specifics of all that when we come back from our break. We're here with Peggy Neely, who's running for mayor of Phoenix. And, Peggy, I'm really thrilled to have you on the show to give our listeners a flavor for what kinds of things you're looking at if you become mayor. And we're going to talk, as you said, about issues relating to transparency, the economy, which is on everybody's mind, some budgeting issues, some issues maybe even about 1070 and how that's affecting
sure.
the economy, and continuing on with discussion about economic development. We can take any calls if anybody out there wants to call. It's 277-KFNX. This is Dennis Wolinchek, and we'll be back after this break.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wolinchek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wolinchek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wolinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
A child is taken, But there is hope through the Arizona Amber Alert. An Amber Alert provides the public with information that could lead to the safe recovery of a child. When a child is missing, everyone plays an important role. To learn more about the details of a specific Amber Alert, dial 511 or go to azamberalert.org. Together, we can all help save a child. Sponsored by the Arizona Department of Transportation, aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
Here's some simple baseball stats. Every day at Chase Field, for just $1.50, you can get a hot dog, a corn dog, a small popcorn, or a small drink. For $4, you can get a 14-ounce beer. And every game, you can find thousands of tickets priced at $20 or less. D-backs Baseball. It's affordable, family, fun. Pick up an All-Star Game Garden Gnome courtesy of Pepsi May 21st when the D-backs take on the Twins. Visit dbacks.com/homestand. Presented by Gila River Casinos.
IronDriveCoatings.com is offering 10% off right now for KFNX listeners. IronDriveCoatings.com, your valley-wide specialist for lifetime guaranteed one-day epoxy and urethane coatings of garages and driveways. Visit IronDriveCoatings.com or call 480-726-1891. Mention KFNX and receive our top-of-the-line lifetime guaranteed granite-looking top coat for the price of our standard top coat, offering 24-hour return to service. Own a business? Ask about our commercial applications as well. Franchises available nationwide. That's 480-726-1891. IronDriveCoatings.com.
Well, we're back. It's Legalese with Dennis Wolinchek. Every Wednesday, we come to you from the studios of KFNX. Our number here is 277-KFNX. That's 5369. And we try to talk about current topics and issues that affect all of us. And as I say, this week we are fortunate to have Peggy Neely on board with us here at the studio in Midtown, who's running for mayor. You've probably seen her signs all over the city. And we've been talking about some of the issues that affect all of us, including the economy, the city budget, state legislature, and other issues. Peggy, let me just ask you before we get rolling on some of those again, what is it that drives you to do what you do?
Yeah, I truly believe that you get what you put into a community, and I believe in having quality education, quality places to live. We all deserve to have a safe, quality community, and you could sit on the sidelines, you can complain about those politicians, or you can get involved. And I've kind of been the person that I wanted to be involved, and sometimes you can't make enough of a difference sitting on the sidelines and from the outside. So I chose to get on the inside and make a difference.
When you were in school as a young woman, is this something you ever foresaw that you'd be doing?
You know, I think it's always kind of come naturally for me.
Were you the class president or anything like that?
Actually, the high school class president in small communities. We call it 4-H. Went from a local to a state and on up. And it's just one of those things. You're always making a difference when you're involved.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, we had Tom Horn on last week, our state attorney general, and he made a big point to me that leaving practice and the money in practice and so forth, the opportunities that he had, he's never regretted it once, he said, and all the time he's been in public office, he said he's never been as thrilled and excited. I don't know if that's true of you or not.
You know, it is, because actually in real estate, I made a great living. But there's something that's very, very rewarding in being able to affect someone's life and making a difference, and I have enjoyed that.
What about, I got to ask you because I ask all of our guests, but what about the downsides, the publicity, the intrusion into your personal life? There's a story that I read in April. Some guy wants to recall you. A guy is out there attempting to recall you on some issue relating to a roadway, Sonoran Boulevard, and over that he's heated up trying to recall you. I mean, how do you put up with that?
Well, you know, Dennis, I really try and educate the public on what's going on, and you try and talk to those folks about what's going on. I think that became very political. Some of the candidates that I'm involved with decided they'd side there. Unfortunately,
what is the issue there? What
the issue is really about people buying houses that failed to do their diligence and find out what was going on with the roadway. This roadway has been planned since 1987. We decided on the alignment back in 2006. And basically, the real issue is they're saying, well, it should have been built on the south, not on the north. both legs will be built. We controlled the property that was on the north, and that gives us access to the preserve, which we bought a lot of acres for. And if we don't have access to that preserve, then why did we buy it?
And where were these people, I guess, when this was all happening?
They didn't own their homes yet. But again,
so when they bought the home, it's public record.
It's public record, and their builder had a due diligence to tell them that that road was,
right,
was there. Some of their builders...
Are they suing the builder?
The builder is part of this process. They're saying it's the city's fault.
I see.
But as you know, it's the real estate department,
sure,
the buyer, and the agent that sold it to
Well, you have a public report. You have disclosures.
Absolutely.
So I'm not sure what they're all upset at you about, and why particularly at you, just because it's in their backyard and that's your district?
That's exactly right, and they forgot. It took a majority of the council to pass that, and actually it was unanimous. And another candidate was on planning commission and voted for the same thing, mm-hmm, but they would like to blame someone else.
Well, it's like anything else in the political season. There's always something that somebody tries to use as an issue.
Absolutely.
But now let's talk about what we were talking about just before we took the break, which was the economy. As you said, that's probably the most important issue to people. I was saying before the show that, you know, if you remember back to George Herbert Walker Bush's days, right, after the Gulf War, like Obama, he was wildly popular, more so than Obama. And then shortly thereafter, within probably 18 months, he was not elected president by running against a guy who nobody even knew, Bill Clinton.
Right.
So lots can happen. But what do you see specifically as the things that you can do to bring the economy back so it's not another situation like George Bush? Because that's what derailed his campaign. Right.
Well, I think, number one, it's creating opportunities. And I think, one, we have to change what we have used as our drivers in our economy. As you and I both know, development can no longer drive this economy.
Right.
We need to take a look at how we have structured our economy. And some of the things we ought to do is go out and take the core that we've been really good at. Healthcare, we have some of the finest healthcare of anywhere in the nation. We ought to help them expand. We ought to be working down at the state legislature to make sure that they're not penalizing them for the great services and the employees they have. We need to work on our bioscience area. That's a great area. We ought to be going out and making sure that Honeywell, Motorola knows that we still appreciate them being here, because sometimes we forget to check with our existing employers. And some of those people employ a lot of people.
Yeah, just keeping people here is just
exactly
as important as bringing new people.
Reconnecting with them.
Yeah. And let me ask you this. The mayor, the current mayor who's about to leave office, he spent a lot of time, it seems, from a perception standpoint, traveling abroad, allegedly under the guise that he was trying to bring business to the city. Without commenting too much on that, you know, as to what he was doing, is that going to be a priority of yours, or are you going to focus elsewhere?
You know, I truly believe that what we need to do is work here locally. If there is a contact that we need to work with, we can go do that. I don't have an intention to go to Dubai,
right,
or Bahrain. I believe that our two largest trade partners internationally is Canada and Mexico. And they're not too far away.
Right.
But we can also talk to them locally. We should expand that. I'm a big supporter of I-11. Why? Because that is a Canamex corridor, and that allows us to be able to have that international trade zone. We need to be working on things like that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Instead of flying off to places like Bahrain. Now, speaking of which, what would be, aside from the economy, then, your biggest priority to tackle in terms of something concrete that you feel you can accomplish within the first 100 days of your office?
You know, I think that we have to put a strong policy in how we're going to deal with our budget. And some of the things that we've got to take a look at is making sure we're controlling costs. And for me, one of the biggest things that's going on at City Hall right now are financial transactions. When I say that, it's going out and refinancing our city buildings to be able to pull off the excess cash so we can use that for the downfall and the shortage that we have. We have to begin to streamline and change the way we do businesses. It means making some tough decisions. And so what I'm going to be looking at is finding ways that we can do business differently. And though there's been a lot of talk down at the legislature about us privatizing businesses, I have been able to work with businesses out in the public sector and private sector and do money savings deals. For example, a Republic Waste entered an agreement with the city that we will share our transfer facilities. It will be a savings to the city over the term of the contract of almost $900 million.
Wow,
and we weren't mandated to do it. We ought to be looking at every piece of business we do and make sure we're doing it the best, but the most affordable way with the tax dollars. And we're doing some of that right now, but we're not. What we're doing is the savings are going towards the shortfalls we have. So we still are bleeding red, and we're using the savings to cover that. We've got to look at how we're going to save this. Zero-based budgeting needs to happen in every enterprise zone or every enterprise fund. And what does that mean? Enterprise fund is something that does not have general tax receipts. And, you know, our general tax accounts are like police and fire. But our airport, our convention center, our water department are all enterprise funds. We need to do a zero-based exercise on them, because I would bet we would find that there are excess dollars that are stashed there that we have not taken a look at that should be used in a different way than they are today.
Speaking of which, we have about a minute, but does the airport make money for the city?
The airport, I guess I would have to say we don't make money as far as our general fund, but what it is a huge economic engine for this whole
region.
Can
it make money for the city, in your opinion?
I don't believe that it can, because because we have to negotiate.
I guess the question would be, would it lose less money if there was something that you could do about it?
Dennis, I would say that there are ways to streamline the processes out there, and what would happen is the businesses would save, and then we could begin to see them reinvest in our economy.
Would you try to bring in more international business?
I believe we have to have some additional international flights to be able to make that a very sustainable airport.
Yeah. We're here with Peggy Neely, who is running for mayor and is a candidate who was on the city council for many years. And we'll be continuing our discussion with her following these commercial breaks, talking about downtown and some other issues.
That'd be great.
Join Brian Hageman, inventor of the natural energy engine, every Tuesday at noon for the Deluge Energy Report. Expert guests from business, government, and science discuss everything from energy policy to the price at the pump. Deluge Energy Report, Tuesday at noon.
I'm Steve Malzberg. Listen to me from 1 to 3 every weekday afternoon on the 50,000-watt Voice of the Valley, KFNX, News Talk Radio 1100, Phoenix.
CNN Radio. I'm Lisa Campbell. Top story, Gingrich makes it official.
I'm Newt Gingrich, and I'm announcing my candidacy for President of the United States.
The former House Speaker announced on Twitter Wednesday, but can he win? Republican strategist Rich Galen in Washington says possibly.
Look, the perfect candidate comes along about once every 2,000 years, and this ain't one of the years, I don't think. So everybody will have some baggage. Can he win? Sure. Will he win? I don't think so.
The crested Mississippi continues to roll south, flooding more cities and towns along the way. Parts of Tunica, Mississippi are submerged already, and now Louisiana, remembering Hurricane Katrina, braces for the worst. Popular evangelist Billy Graham is hospitalized, his doctors say, for treatment of a pulmonary condition. He's said to be stable, fully alert, and in good spirits. The 92-year-old is expected to be released soon. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
Arizona News Radio. A Phoenix man is arrested after he left a gun in a home. He was picked up by an 8-year-old relative. A 2-year-old girl was shot in the face.
It led them to believe and to have probable cause in this case that the grandfather, who also rented the apartment, was in fact the one that was in possession of the weapons.
Phoenix police have arrested an 18-year-old in connection with a series of rapes of young girls. That wildfire near Portal is still burning, but the evacuation order has been lifted.
Evacuations have been lifted in the Portal area. With that said, though, there is still a closure in the fire area.
Opponents of Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio want him to resign over alleged mismanagement, but illegal immigration gets this supporter.
People have been ducking them. I'm sick of it. I'm sick and tired of having our city and our state and our country invaded by illegal aliens.
DPS finds 9 illegals in a car they stopped.
One of those
undocumented aliens being smuggled had a prior arrest record in California.
That for an alleged attempt to kill a cop, George Tanner.
And this KFNH traffic report is brought to you by Garmin. 83rd Avenue south of the 10 has a collision. So does Bell Road east of 99th Avenue. There's also a rollover accident southbound on the 10 right in Roosevelt. Stay to the right to get by. Garmin checks traffic over 2 billion times a month to keep you moving. Available on select Garmin GPS with 100% subscription-free traffic. For more information, visit Garmin.com. That's Garmin. com.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Well, this unbelievably cool spell does come to an end. We're 91 tomorrow, and by Friday and Saturday, we're mid to upper 90s under sunny skies. Believe it or not, by the first of the week, we cool off again. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
And currently in our downtown studios, we're sitting at 84 degrees. Next news in 30 minutes, and when it breaks here on KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Hi folks, Jim Sewards for Legends Cadillac. The model year rebates and incentives are starting to roll in. GM just announced 0% financing on every 2011 Escalade, ESV, and EXT. This fantastic rate is good for up to 60 months. Now folks, this is just a limited offer, and it's good for only the month of May, so don't miss out on these great savings. Legends Cadillac has stocked up on all Escalade models in preparation for this event. Every color, package, and series is on our lot and ready for delivery. We also have the Valley's best selection of the number one crossover in the world, the SRX. This vehicle has everyone buzzing, from its price starting at $34,700 to its styling, equipment, and performance. Legends has it all. Our location, our inventory, our certified professional sales staff, and an award-winning service department. Legends continues to sell more Cadillacs than any dealership from the Pacific Ocean to the Rocky Mountains. So Legends, it's truly like no place else in North Scottsdale or online at legendscadillac.com.
It's always good to have someone you can depend on. If you're a homeowner age 62 or older who is considering a reverse mortgage, it's even better when that person has the knowledge and experience to help with your particular situation. You can find that person at MetLife Bank. Our reverse mortgage consultants are prepared to help you with every step in the loan process, from your initial questions through your loan closing. So if you're a homeowner age 62 or older, call MetLife Bank today. We'll help you determine if a reverse mortgage is right for you. MetLife Bank is a MetLife company, and MetLife has been a trusted name for more than 140 years. We'll be there when you need us.
Call Brian Bellamini, your local MetLife Bank reverse mortgage consultant, at 602-509-3366 to learn more. That's 602-509-3366. 602-509-3366.
All loans are subject to property approval. Certain conditions and fees apply. Mortgage financing provided by MetLife Bank N.A. Equal Housing Lender.
This is Dennis Wilenchek. We're on Legalese every week from 4 to 5 Wednesdays, leading into the Lou Dobbs Show. And we are here with Peggy Neely, who is running for mayor of Phoenix, who has been on the city council for many years, and we're very pleased to have the opportunity to talk with Peggy. Hopefully the first woman mayor in 30 years, right?
Right.
And the last one was?
Thelda Williams, who was appointed, but Margaret Hance was the last elected female mayor in the city of Phoenix.
And is Thelda still on the council?
She is on the council. Came back 4 years ago.
Yeah, I thought that. Yeah. Amazing. Now, why, as we talked earlier, should you be the first woman mayor in 30 years?
Like I said, I have the leadership and the track record to make this happen. And I believe we need a strong leadership style to get this done. We can't continue business as we have. We have to change some of those things. And those fall in the areas of making sure that we have opportunities for everyone, and that would be the economy. Making sure that we have a strong budget, because people aren't going to come to Arizona and relocate their companies if they do not believe that there's a stable form of government.
You know, what? One of the things that intrigues me about the city government in Phoenix in particular is, why would someone like you leave a long-term position on the council to run for mayor? What is it about the mayor's position in terms of the structure of Phoenix that is attractive, and why various people are trying to run for it who have been on the council?
Well, it's interesting because we are a charter form of government, but that makes, I think,
What does that mean for our listeners?
What that means is that you have a professional group of staff that runs the city.
Right.
They make recommendations to the board of directors. That's what the mayor and council is the board of directors. And as any chairman of a board of director, they set the agenda and drive the policy. And our professional staff is able, unlike some of elected officials that will put staff underneath them that may not have the professional ability to do the things in accounting, be it administration. We have a professional staff that drives that. We have one employee, that's the city manager, and he directs the rest of the city. But it's being able to set the agenda and set policy for where the city needs to go.
Okay, and so you're saying the council persons don't really get to meet with the manager to do that?
They do, but they are really pretty limited on a citywide basis. They're limited to their district because we're a district system. There are eight districts, so what you're looking at is looking after your constituents within that. The mayor represents the whole city.
I see. Okay, well, that explains a lot. When is the election this year?
It's August 30th, and basically I would say the majority of the election will occur through early ballots. And those will be mailed out the first part of August.
And as I understand it, it's a situation where anyone can vote, Republican, Democrat.
It's a nonpartisan race.
Totally nonpartisan.
Nonpartisan. So you could say we have a primary. If you do not get 50% plus one, then there would be a runoff. And that runoff would go into November. So if someone gets 50% plus one, it could be over in August, and that's what I'm really working for, is to get my message out and tell people
where we're
at.
I think a lot of people don't realize that the election is coming up that soon. I really didn't know that until recently.
It's right around the corner.
Yeah, right around the corner is right. So I can see why you're out there trying to do what you can do. Now, we talked earlier about transparency in government, which is a big topic as I research your background, that you're very big on.
Yes.
Why? What is that?
Well, to me, Dennis, you know enough about me that it's really black or white. There is no gray. And having come from that small town, I use the analogy that used to have a party line. So for those that may be too young to know what that is, you'd have a phone line, but you'd have numerous people that were on it.
Amazing.
And I used to tell people ours was three short rings.
Right.
My grandmother's was four, so I always knew they were listening in.
Right.
And that's what we need to do in our government. We need to act as though people are listening in because we need to hear from them. Too much is said about not listening to the other folks that are out there. We need to change what we're doing at City Hall. We need to be much more transparent. We need to make sure that people are able to see what's going on. That means we need to change the website. We need to get in 2011. You need to be able to have real-time information. You need to be able to find the document you want, not have to sit at the computer for 4 hours to dig through and open Acrobat forms to find out how someone voted on something.
Well, and I think some of the things that are obvious to most people is, the old adage, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Some of the candidates running tend to hurl things at other candidates without necessarily being transparent themselves.
Right.
I find that very frustrating when they do that. I'm sure you do, too.
Well, and you know, that's one of the things that I believe in. I have always tried to be fully transparent. And some of my opponents, I've told them, I've filed all of my travel records. Take a look at them. They are there for people to take a look at. Have they filed theirs? Some go under the auspices that a private business paid for them, so I don't need to file them, nor do I have to claim them as gifts. To me, it is...
That's not transparency.
That is not transparent. And, you know, it's sort of like what I found out about our lobbyists. You know that we do not have that on the website? I wonder why not. Why is it we don't want the public to know who are our registered lobbyists? If you want that, you must get to the clerk's office, and they'll give you a paper copy. That's not 2011. That's about 1960.
Yeah.
We need to make sure people understand that. I think we should have some changes in our reporting laws for financial reporting. It should happen live time. You should be able to submit it online. And we should do it more frequently. We shouldn't wait every 6 months or every year when there aren't races. We need to know what's going on.
How much can a mayor get done, realistically, in a city like Phoenix? Because you have to work with the other council members. How many council members are there?
There are 8 council members.
8 council members, and obviously you know them all. You've worked with them. Mm-hmm. I assume as mayor you feel that you would have a good relationship with them, which would be important, not an adversarial relationship.
Right.
There is some adversarial relationship there that I've noticed.
Right now there is.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I don't know how you can get anything done with that kind of pontificating and individual positions being taken that are not conducive to literally getting anything done.
Well, what I would say is every person on council right now cares about the city or they wouldn't be there. It's a little different approach with some versus others. But the 3 topics that I talk about are very broad topics that they're not specific to a project. They're not specific to a district. I believe what we need to do is sit down and figure out what we can work on collectively. You can't have 10 items and get it done.
No, you know, but I have to say that when I watch, for example, on my TV, it's like Channel 11 on cable, I think, and I watch some of the city council meetings, which are very hard to watch sometimes. But when I do, and I force myself to do it sometimes, I did notice that you have a tendency to be sort of a peacemaker with disparate, you know, people on there that have strong opinions. And that's something I assume you take pride in doing that.
I do. And I, you know, again, I come back to I want to be a solution finder. And if we're just there to vote and have a difference of opinion, I have always believed that you must respect others' opinions. They may vote differently and you do, but let's respect it and let's find a way that resolves the issues. We too often throw our bombs and then go running the other way.
Yeah. Let me ask you before our next break. We have about a minute and a half. There's a lot of problems now with the police department down there at the city. Why don't you tell our listeners, before we take our break here, what would you do about the problems with the police department, the efficiency study for the police, the whole thing with the resignation? Where is that now?
Well, number one, with the replacement of the chief that has just recently left, we need to have a national search. We need to get the best we can have out there, and we need to make sure that the community is involved in that. Full transparency again. Secondly, on our efficiency study, we should not dismiss what was there. We need to go through that, figure out what we can implement that will allow us to find some savings, but additionally give us additional officers that we can put on the street.
And the police chief reports directly to the mayor?
To the city manager.
To the city manager.
The city manager. Again, the council has one employee, which is technically two, the presiding judge and the city manager. And the rest of them, all of the other employees report up.
All right, we'll be back in a minute. This is Dennis Wilenchek on Legalese with Peggy Neely running for mayor of Phoenix. We'll be back in just a moment.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wilenchek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wilenchek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wilenchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
Win a trip to Lake Powell. Hear the details on Healthy House Call Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 a.m. We give you the secrets to wellness, longevity, and abundant energy, helping you feel psyched up, tuned in, turn on a megawire for sound. That's what I'm talking about.
Somebody's got to say it. That's why Neil Bortz is on the airwaves.
This is me getting out the world's smallest violin for the baby boomers that can't afford to retire.
Weekday mornings at 10 on KFNX.
When you brush your teeth, do your gums bleed? They shouldn't. That's gingivitis or inflammation of the gums. Most people have it, but it's totally preventable. Vanderskef Bischel Dental Care offers the fix for your bleeding gums. Laser-assisted cleaning. Vanderskef Bischel Dental Care specializes in prevention. Enough already with the bleeding gums and bad breath. Call now to schedule your laser-assisted cleaning. Call 480-994-5225. That's 480-994-5225.
America had just gone to war when Felipe Adams volunteered.
I took a bullet to the side and left me paralyzed.
For Armando De La Rosa, the Navy was a chance to serve and see the world.
I got medically discharged in 2001.
For injured veterans like Felipe Adams, there are veterans like Armando De La Rosa ready to help.
Our training is to better the veteran.
Paralyzed Veterans of America, changing lives, building futures. Visit PVA.org.
This is Dennis Wolinchek. We're back on Legalese, and we're here till 5 o'clock when the Lou Dobbs Show begins, and we're honored to have with us a lady that's been on the city council for a long time and hopefully our first woman mayor in 30 years, Peggy Neely, who's running. You've probably seen her signs out on the street, and she's running hard for mayor. Right, Peggy?
I am, Dennis. Yeah. We're out there working every day.
Every day. And as we said, the election's this August, August 30th, so it's coming right up there. Peggy, let me ask you this. When you look at the current state of Phoenix, the current mayor who's now on his way out, term limited, what do you think about the job that Phil Gordon's done? Do you mind commenting on that?
You know, I think,
and how you might do it differently?
Sure. I think Phil has been very ambitious in the things that he has brought to Phoenix. He's been very localized to downtown. We need to look at all of Phoenix. I think that it's time that we put our focus across this state. We can no longer be about one area. Though he has done some great things, he's been very ambitious, and I think he's spread himself very thin. I think we have to be laser focused on the three topics we've talked about.
And those are?
Budget, the economy, and transparency. And I would say the economy is the number one. Day in and day out, we have to work on that.
Now, do you believe that we need, as I hear you speaking, to be more regional in focus?
You know, absolutely. That's one of the things I think that is definitely something that sets me apart from the rest of them. I have, over time, realized that we can no longer continue the model we have for economic development or transportation in this region. The region is this state's economy. We must drive this region. We can no longer compete with each other. We need to go to much more of a process like we've done at Texas. Texas comes together and says, we're going to go after that business.
Yeah.
We need to do that instead of competing with each other, and we're going to win more than we lose.
Well, I think, you know, there has to be a stop to this fighting with the legislature and blaming everything on them. Don't you agree?
I am definitely a more of a positive approach is the way I look at it. We cannot be cup half empty.
Yeah.
It's half full. And we need to start talking about the great things that are going on in this region.
Well, let's talk about that. I just came back from Florida, as you know, and I talk to people and tell them I'm from Arizona. And Arizona's become nationally, for those that don't travel a lot, sort of the modern-day Mississippi or Alabama. And that's really the reality of it. And even in California, as you know, what do we do about this whole SB 1070 thing? What's your views on that?
I think we've got to spend some money on it. I think we have to start telling people what we're doing here, because there is this fear factor that's out there. Why should we go to Arizona? You know, and the amazing thing, Utah and Texas pass similar type legislations. We allowed our legislature and some of our local political people to polarize us and make that an issue that should not have ever been an issue, because they don't have the same issues over there. So what we need to do is do some PR, and we need to also come back and talk about the great things that Arizona has to offer. You know, we have some of the best real estate you can find. And I come back to when we moved here in 1990. What did Arizona have? A very affordable housing market. They had a very affordable commercial market. And that's very conducive to employers wanting to be here. They want to be able to have great availability of both of those. We have great universities, great public schools here. We don't talk enough about that. And we also have a good tax structure. And I've heard from California companies coming here that all of those things met their needs, and that's why they're coming here. But we don't talk about the positives. We worry too much about being polarizing in our partisan politics. And to me, I believe we need to sell the attributes of what this region has to offer. And if we don't, we'll never get out of what we're in.
Yeah. We're talking with Peggy Neely, who's running for mayor of the city of Phoenix, the election being August 30th. And that's very inspiring, Peggy. And I think in part, while a lot of people look for specifics on how we get there, of course, I think a lot of the role of mayor, don't you, is really to be in some ways a figurehead, because it's a non-polarizing position.
Absolutely.
Nonpartisan position, really, in many ways. And as you say, you're sort of a chairman of a board, but you also represent the face of Phoenix in terms of the rest of the country. And not so much focusing on international, but just the country itself, we have to increase our reputation, right? I mean, that's what I was saying earlier.
You know, we do. And I think that what we have failed to do is tell people that we have taken action to deal with the federal issue that they've not taken care of. We need to continue to say to the federal government, we're the sixth largest city, and we demand you secure the borders. But at the same time, let people know this is a good community. We have the lowest crime rate that anywhere in the last 25 years. Yeah. We should be proud about that. But that got lost in not even talking about it. We don't talk about the great things that are going on.
That's a very good point. I think that's a very good point. We focus a lot on the negativity.
Absolutely.
You're right. There's so
it
many
sells
good things
papers,
going on.
Right?
Yeah. Well, that's the reality of it. But the truth is there's a lot of good things going on and a lot of good people working to make those things happen. And I think as mayor, you can do a good job of...
You know, Dennis, I just want to tell you, I had Gore move into my district in the last couple of months.
Not Al Gore.
No. That other Gore.
W.L. Gore. Right.
And they opened a new facility with 300 new jobs. Great jobs. And we helped them do their press releases. We talked about it. It wasn't picked up in the papers. That's something that we need more than anything right now is more jobs.
Well, is there anything the city can do with respect to the foreclosure problem that's out there now?
You know, we can't. Because if we fix this economy, the housing overage is going to be gone. I don't think we play a part in being able to intervene with the banks, but we do play a part in being able to put people back to work, bringing new employers here that hire new people, and we'll absorb what's out there. And that will change the real estate market.
Let me just ask you the time we have left. So what would you do in that regard, for example, that the current mayor either isn't doing or isn't doing effectively?
I think too often we don't go out and talk to our employers. You know, there are lots of people that have talked to us about coming here, but we don't close the deal.
Yeah.
I came from a sales market. If you don't ask, you don't get.
Right.
And we also need to find out, why aren't you coming here? Those that choose not to come to Phoenix, we ought to know why they didn't come or come to this region. And we need to start talking to our other cities saying, we need to work regionally. I chaired MAG, Maricopa Association of Governments, a countywide agency. I was able to put together an economic development committee, and the reason was to look at infrastructure that we could look at to be able to drive this economy. That's the first step in making us much more regional. We can't only live in our silo in Phoenix. We must look across this region.
Well, is there anything positive going on right now as we speak that's in the works that's going to be happening?
You know, I think that what you're going to see is that we have a lot of employers that are going to expand their job base. We are beginning to see Mayo is looking to do a huge project up at their facility. By 2014, that their main campus will be right there at 56th and Mayo Boulevard. So, again, the healthcare industry is continuing to move.
What can the city do, though, to sweeten that? The issue of subsidies, obviously, has been a problem with the courts.
You know, I'm going to tell you that we will always live within the law. The subsidies that some people talk about were found to be legal, even though Goldwater challenged us. We have been able to collect over $3 million. Not one penny has been spent and in taxes, and then $2 million in impact fees. We cannot give away our city, but when you're looking at $5 million worth of square or 5 million square feet of retail, which was commercial and retail combined, those were great jobs. We ought to be happy to have something like that that's performance-based. But we cannot just say we're not going to do any of that anymore.
But what can you offer these companies?
Well, you know, you have training dollars. We can also do development agreements that pays for infrastructure. That was one that was a little bit different because it was state land. We need to still look at that. We need every tool in the toolbox because if we don't have it, we're not going to be competitive, and we shouldn't have to worry about being competitive with our sister cities. It's the Texas, the Utahs, and the Colorado that have those tools.
Now, let's talk about downtown Phoenix,
sure,
which is, as you said, the mayor's primary focus, it seemed like, during his years. You said you would expand that, but, of course, downtown does need some help.
Well, you know, it will always be the heartbeat of the city. You always have to have a great downtown. Every great city has it. We need
You see progress in that regard?
I see progress, but I have to tell you, we need more private businesses down in downtown. For years.
And businesses stay open, like on the weekends.
You and I were talking about it. I mean, we bring new businesses and others close at 5 o'clock at night. So we need to make sure that we're working with existing businesses, finding new businesses to invest down there. But we need, you know,
Get rid of the parking tickets.
I agree.
Parking fines.
We're doing a study, and I think we'll find that we can have more electronic-type metering, and that will allow us to eliminate when we're having to police.
All right. We've only got a short amount of time, so let's have you wrap it up and tell us why you will be Peggy Neely, the next mayor of this city.
Dennis, I thank you for having me here, and I want to tell you that over the 9 years that I've been on council, it was the best job I ever had, and I had a track record of showing that we could get the job done, building quality communities, and that's what everyone wants. They want quality communities with opportunities that they can feed their family and change what's going on in Phoenix. I have the leadership, I have the track record, and I'm excited to be able to represent the residents of Phoenix.
All right. Well, that's great. That's well said, and we certainly hope you get there, and we've been talking with Peggy Neely for the hour, and we're going to sign off in a moment. This is Dennis Wolinchek for Legalese. We're here every Wednesday, 4 to 5. We'll see you next week here at KFNX in Midtown Phoenix. Have a good week.
Our company is called SkyPower. We are solar guys. We design, we build solar electric systems. My electric bill last month was like $30. I'm telling you guys now, they work. We've been doing it for years. They cost a whole lot less than you think. You could do it for as little as like $2,000. You want to scale it up to a gajillion dollars? You can do that, but why bother? Solar's real. The best way to find out, have me come on over and let's take a look. Give me a call. I'm at 480-290-2040. Go to our website, which is skypower.co.
London Gold, it's the best.
Hey, sis.
So what are you going all gonzo about?
Well, Sharon's going to be jumping the jet for a couple of months back in Boca on business, and I had this dream, and I'm convinced that she's got to be wearing my rock or I'm toast.
Okay, slow down. You want to simplify that for me?
All right, I'm going for the gold. I'm going to ask Sharon to marry me before she leaves on her two-month training class. But I got to find an engagement ring, a beautiful, seductive, you can't say no kind of ring. And you're going to help me.
Oh, is that all?
Well, that and I don't want to run all over town, and I'm not made of money, you know.
Oh, I know. But you want diamonds, lots of rings to choose from. Then I know just the place. Because if you're going for the gold, you gotta go to the gold. London Gold.
For over 30 years, London Gold has been offering couples a wide array of diamond engagement and wedding rings that not only reflect the timeless beauty of their love, but an enduring value as well.
London Gold. It's the best.
You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. Cape Creek, Phoenix. The home of Lou Dobbs, weekdays 5 to 7 p.m. It's 5 o'clock.